of scripture tonight. Now let's make it two. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also the Greeks. For it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again tonight for the reading of your word. And Lord, as we read this word, we just pray that you'll speak to us tonight. And Lord, we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's precious name that we ask these things. Amen. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love that passage of scripture. Christianity has always been tempted, I believe, to hang our heads and not say nothing when questions are asked, like, why do you think Christianity is the only way to God? Well, some people just hang their heads and say, well, it's not, you know, we don't want to answer that, for we don't want to upset the apple cart, so to speak. I don't believe that. I believe we need to answer that Christianity is the only way, because God's word says so. I'm not ashamed of God's word. All these years that I preached God's word, you shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. And I love Paul's writing here, for he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Matter of fact, in verse 14, he says, I'm a debtor, and I believe we are debtors. For the Lord has blessed our life, given us the great salvation that we have in Christ Jesus, and we ought not be ashamed to speak or pray or do whatever we can to witness about Jesus Christ. I've heard someone say, what gives you the right to intrude in somebody else's religion and tell them they're wrong? Well, the Bible gives me the right. God called us to preach the gospel and not be ashamed of the gospel. He called us to go into the world, all the world, and tell about Jesus Christ. He's asked us to do that, and people need to know who God really is. I don't think we ought to be quiet, and I think the problem we today with our in our churches is that we are quiet. We don't want to interfere. We don't want to cause any problems, so to speak. The church should never doubt or debate the question of whether we should share and go tell others about Jesus Christ. The truth is, Christ died, and the truth is, he is the only way. He's the truth and the life, and we ought to tell people if they don't come by the way of Christ, they won't get to heaven. So, Paul says here, I just label it the what of Christian pride. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He says, I am proud to be a Christian. A Christian ought to be proud of his faith and never be quiet about his faith. That's what the problem is today. He called it, I'm not ashamed of my gospel. And he spoke of the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for him. Adults, do the people around you know in your neighborhood that you're saved? Do they know that you're a Christian? The people at work, I've told this many times, everybody, my brother, people knew that I was supposed to be preaching even before I did. And for that reason, I believe I was never ashamed of Jesus Christ. Even though sometimes I didn't live for him, I knew him by reading his word. I grew up listening to my father, my mother, my grandmother. They were all strong Christians testifying about the gospel, and when people would ask me about church or ask me about Christ, I would always tell them. I never, you know, and I didn't like to hear people curse and use God's name in vain. And when somebody said that, even today I'll say, hey, you know, you don't have to talk like that. We don't need to hear that. As a Christian, we ought not ever say God's name in vain, use it in any way, form, or fashion. I just don't believe we should do that. I hear some people, and I hate to even say it from the pulpit, but my grandmother, I'm going to tell you how it goes around our house. It went around our house. You could say, golly, and boy, she'd slap you down. You just didn't say that. That might have been that's a slang word, you see. And that was just as bad as using God's name, because you was using a slang. And you just didn't say that. And we grew up knowing my grandmother was telling us, you don't use any kind of slang against God. And she didn't mind letting you know that. And I always thought, man, you know, if I could just be half the witness that my grandmother was. Now, she was very fluent in Spanish and English. And when the Spanish came by her house and she got a chance, she talked to them about the Lord. She didn't miss an opportunity whatsoever. And I often thought, man, I wish that I had that kind of spark in me. And you ought to have that kind of spark. We ought to have that kind of spark. I thought about going in high school and college. Our young people, oh, if we could just have that kind of spark around our classmates and tell them, you know, we're not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of Christ. And someone said, if you was arrested, would there be enough evidence against you to convict you about Christianity, that you're a Christian? Well, I think if that old question's asked, if you're not, you're ashamed of the gospel. Because people ought to know in your life, are you a Christian? That is the what of Christianity. As a preacher, Paul was proud of the Christian faith. He called himself a debtor to all men, not just the Jews, but to all men. And it cost him. Folks, if we're not ashamed of the gospel, it's going to cost us. It cost him his homeland. It cost him his family, his friends, and even in many times his health, for he was stoned. And the world mocked him as he stood for Christ and preached the gospel. Tall and proud he stood. But he never stood taller, I believe, when he stood in on that Mars Hill and preached and said of the unknown God. They may have laughed at him, but you know what? He stood tall that day. And people will laugh at you, and people will maybe not want to have nothing to do with you, but you'll never stand taller than when you stand up for what the gospel says and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I've been laughed at by people saying, you believe that Christ is God? And I said, sure, I believe it. The Bible says so. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Me and the Father are one. Do you believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God? I said, I believe every bit of it. Folks, I do. I believe we have to. You can't have a Bible full of holes. And the world will laugh at that and say, you're ridiculous if you think what's written in the Bible is the true Word of God. I believe not only that, I believe that Christ is virgin born. And I think we have to believe that. I believe that God was sinless in his life. And, you know, what we see today is, do you believe that the world was created by God, or it just happened? Folks, it didn't happen. It was created by God, just like God said in the beginning. And if you don't believe those, if you believe those things that I've just mentioned, then the vast majority of the world today thinks you're foolish. Now think about that. The vast majority think that we're foolish if we believe that Christ is God, the Bible is the inspired word of God, that Christ was sinless. Man, I'm just a fool then, because I'm a fool for the Lord. I believe what the Bible says. Religiously, it wasn't fashionable for Paul. Yet Paul faced opposition from those in generalized, I call it generalized religion. You see, Paul, didn't matter to him what people said. He told them about Jesus Christ and who he was and that he worshiped God. Now, today, folks will tell you, preacher, it doesn't matter. We all worship the same God. And I say, no, we don't. We don't. It does matter what you believe. People want to tell you that the message is that if you're sincere, then you'll make it to heaven. Just live and let live. And that's what the world, that's what the devil wants to make. Let me tell you something. Paul was sincere in his beliefs when he was persecuting the church. But he was sincerely wrong, wasn't he? When Christ spoke to him, it changed his life and changed his direction of life. Do you think that those people in Matthew, when they said, Lord, Lord, hadn't we done this, they were sincere? Nicodemus was sincere. And Jesus said, listen, you must be born again. You can be sincere and be wrong. There's only one way. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. In a world where it was not fashionable, Paul was proud of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to be the same way today. Now that's the what of the gospel. Now, the why of the Christian pride. The person he was talking about, or the good news of the gospel, is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the gospel is not an event. The gospel is not an activity. It's all wrapped up in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was Jesus who was born of a Virgin Mary. It's Jesus who came as the God-man. It's Jesus Christ who lived the sinless life and died a sacrificial death for you and I. It's all about Jesus Christ. It was Jesus who was raised from the dead. It was Jesus who is seated by the right hand of God. Seated. It's Jesus Christ who will be given a name above all names. I just love that song, The Name of Jesus. You know, it's Jesus Christ who died to remove my sin and my sorrow and give me forgiveness that I needed in my life, and we ought to be proud of that, not ashamed of that. Paul said, I am proud of the gospel. Did you know I was thinking the other day, Brother Tom and I went out to Brother Randy Farrer's place to do a little turkey hunting, which ended up to be we did all hunting and no turkeys. But we got to talk to Randy, and I saw Larry Sinclair lives with him. That's his dad-in-law. And Randy was telling us about some churches he had interned in. And he said, do you know, some Christians are just flat mean. Isn't that, you know, he said, I've been to churches, many where they wanted to fire the preacher. They wanted to fire, you know, everybody in there. They just hated one another. There was this group and this group, and it was just all they could do to keep from fighting. You'll never have revival there. And he said, you know, the pastor had to apologize for his congregation. He said, you don't have to do that. Y'all got a sweet church. And he said, I just got out of another sweet church where, you know, people loved each other. Well, that's what it's supposed to be about. We're supposed to love each other as Christ loved the church. You know, I've had to apologize for some of my members. But I've never had to apologize for my Savior. You see, you never have to apologize for Jesus. We're members of the SBTC, the Southern Baptist Convention of Texas. And you know, back years ago, they had a split in the convention, the Southern Baptist and the General Baptist Convention of Texas. And you know, we had to apologize to each. I believe we have to apologize to everybody for being able not to get along. That's a shame, isn't it? When Baptists can't get along. But I've never had to apologize for my gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, you never have to apologize, and I'm not ashamed. I'm ashamed sometimes of the way I live. I'm ashamed sometimes of the way our people live. But I've never had to be ashamed of my Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ was willing to go to the cross for me, surely I can witness for him and tell somebody that's lost about Jesus Christ. I believe that was Paul. I believe he said, you know, I may be ashamed of myself, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. That is where men and women are brought to trust Christ, to all who believes. And every time somebody said, well, preacher, there's no miracles anymore. Every time a boy or girl, that little girl came, the man came the other day, the young lady came to get her life right with God. Let me tell you something, those are miracles of God. He's still in the miracle working business. We don't see the type of miracles that you would see today on the mission field. God works miracles there too, saving souls. But he works the miracle according to the people, I believe, as you see them. And I've seen miracles when we were overseas, you know. I believe God's hand of protection was on us many times when we were there, or we wouldn't have made it back. Oh, but the miracles of God are more than just happenings. There, when people get saved, come to know Jesus Christ, a father that's lived a life of sin and shame, and a wife that lives a life of sin and shame, come to know Jesus Christ. That is the power of God unto salvation. And if you look at that statement, you'll find several facts about it. One, the fact about sin. Salvation means we have been set free from the power of sin. No longer does that sin control my life since I've known Jesus Christ. And if you know Jesus Christ, sin no longer controls you. You see, sin is why we have all the wars in the world. You think about it. It's because of sin. Sin is why our children are killing one another in schools. And folks, it goes way back, that sin problem. We was talking earlier in our deacon's meeting, and the people in here that are working with our security, trying to get rules and regulations here so that we'll know what to do if someone comes in. But you know, it's because of sin that we have to be so aware of those things today. Sin is why so many drugs are sold to our children to gain that almighty dollar. Sin is why we see so many children aborted. Sin is why we have one out of three families today divorcing. Sin is why there's so many high teen pregnancies in our society today. Sin is why we have youth committing suicide higher than it's ever been before. And on and on and on we could go. But sin is why we need salvation. And sin is why Christ came into this world to save his people from our sin. And God will ultimately punish sin. You see, sin is a fact there. And then there's the fact of salvation. Christ has the power to set us free from sin. Now, if you give your testimony, it would go something like this. This is what I was before Christ came into my life. I was this, and I was that, and I was that. I didn't know Christ. And then he showed me, and I believed, I trusted him, and this is what my life is today with Christ. Christ has that power to set us free from that sin, past sin, future sin, and present sin. By the shedding of his blood, as we talked about this morning, we have remission from sin. Christ died that we might have eternal life. I'm not ashamed of that, Paul said. I'm not ashamed for the fact that Christ died for me. Through Christ, he was delivered from that bondage of sin in his life and the power of sin that caused him to do what he was doing. And then there's the fact of a needed surrender. We need to surrender to Christ in our life. Christ came, Christ died, Christ rose again. I love that passage of scripture in Corinthians where it says Christ died and rose again. And he didn't put a period after Christ died. It's just a comma. And he rose again. Oh, I think I'll preach on that. That sounds so good. Why then do people die in their sin? If sin sets us free, why then do people die in their sin? Is it because God doesn't love them? No, it's not that at all. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The reason why is so many choose not to be saved. If someone dies and goes to hell, it's not because God did not love them. It's not because God didn't come and die for them. It's because they chose to live their life in sin. You see, they chose not to be saved. They chose sin over salvation. You have that choice. God is not going to make you love him. He wants you to love him. But he's not going to force you to accept him and believe in him. If you choose to live in sin, then you will die in your sin. And the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. Not physical death, but eternal separation from God. The saved are those who trust their life to Jesus Christ and to trust their life to God's care. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of that. As a matter of fact, I want to tell everyone that I can that God reaches down to you. And all you have to do is reach up to him and say, Lord, I need you in my life. Paul did that and he repented. No amount of goodness can save you. We have people today that think they're going to get to heaven by their goodness. And we're not good. The Bible says we're as filthy rags, our righteousness is. No amount of badness can keep you from being saved. We have people that answer, well, I'm too bad for God to save. You're not too bad. If you're too bad, it's because you chose that route. God says, I can save all who come to me. Simply says, Paul says, I am not ashamed. Folks, don't be ashamed this week as we go out. Don't be ashamed to tell somebody that you're a Christian. Act like one. Set yourself apart from one. Everywhere you go, in the town shopping, in the restaurants while you're eating, at your workplace, act like a Christian. Be different. Let them know that the way of the cross leads home. I love that old song. Oh, the way of the cross leads home. There's no other way but this. We'll never get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross we miss. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight as we've heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, the facts of sin in our life and in the world, Lord, we shouldn't be ashamed. Give us that zeal, like Paul, to rise up and say, listen, I'm not ashamed of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And let us be a witness, a light to all of those around us who are in darkness, that they might see and they might want a spark of what we have. Someone said last week, we've kind of lost our spark. Well, the Bible says where there's no fire, where there's no wood, the fire goes out. And Lord, let us be that wood, that kindling, that starts that fire ablazing again in our life, that others might see Jesus Christ. And Lord, we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.